The views and opinions expressed in the following paid program do not necessarily represent those of staff, management, or advertisers with WBIG Radio.
Your radio dial is locked. On the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Go from loafing around in the garden to being a master of your yard splendor.
Hey, Mr. Gopher.
In the next half hour, you'll get the confidence you need to tackle those weekend projects with ease. You'll get information about proper methodology and the best materials available at a price you can afford. The Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show is brought to you in part by 844-DIRT. 844-DIRT, improved earth products. And now it's time for another show straight from the Gopher's Den.
Welcome to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. You're in the den again with Zach and Mike, and today we're going to talk about proper maintenance for your wood structures, decks, fences, and sometimes even your house.
Oh, Mr. Scientist. Does this mean you don't get to talk about things like, you know, interaction of molecules in dirt, you know, earthworms, mating habits, or some other bit of enlightenment in case one of us gets on Jeopardy?
Well, I don't think it's going to be you, Mike, but you're going to have to wait and see, because remember, I get to pick the questions in the show, so I got some in store for you.
All right, great. Well, before you sedate me with your wisdom, let's go over the process of staining or restaining your decks.
Well, here at the Gopher's Den, we like to break things into threes because, you know, good things come in threes. There was three blind mice, three's a company, the three stooges.
Hey, what about the three amigos?
Good point, Mike. That's a great flick.
Yeah,
like that.
Love that movie.
And now we're going to talk about three steps to properly maintaining your wood structures.
Yeah, absolutely, Zach. You know, summertime is one of those times when, you know, it kind of slows down for some of the landscape projects, but this is a great time to do some maintenance on some of our wood structures, such as our decks, fences, or some of those other sheds, or even our house. But this is a time when we can actually take advantage of the heat.
Mike, you take advantage of the heat?
Yeah, usually my definition...
You're like a recliner and an air conditioner.
Yeah, usually my definition of taking advantage of the heat is taking advantage of the air conditioner out of the heat. But you know what? I tell you what, when it comes to preparing the decks for staining or some type of maintenance, you know, we're going to do a lot of cleaning. So that is going to allow us to have that
expedite
the drying process after cleaning. And I'll tell you what, and when you get to use water and the heat, that's always a good thing.
Oh, the pressure washer is like the adult sprinkler. I mean, who doesn't want to play with this when it's 110 degrees out?
Zach, it'll give you an opportunity to break out that Speedo.
No tan lines here in the Gopher's Den, folks. All right, now there are three easy steps to follow to maintaining a structure. The stripping, the cleaning, and the staining. We're going to cover the stripping and the cleaning right now. But later in the show, we'll give you some really great tips on getting that clean deck refinished to a beautiful new look. Well, without further ado, your first priority will be to clear the deck of all removable items.
Okay, Captain Obvious. What do you mean, clear the deck of, like, the patio furniture?
Well, I like to be thorough, Mike, and I just like to point out the fact that people should remove these things. Otherwise, they're going to have crop circles when they choose to stain and varnish around these things.
I think our listeners are probably a bit more astute than to stain or clean around their patio furniture. But if you want to take a systematic approach to this, I'm all for it.
Well, let's just move on to the stripping. Stripping is essential for creating an even surface on which the new sealant can adhere. If the high traffic areas of your deck have worn down, but there is still sealant remaining in other areas, just strip the entire deck before you restain it, because any traces of the old color left underneath will really affect the way that new color appears.
Yeah, just because those high traffic areas look like it's down to the wood, you always want to, like you said, strip the entire area,
Definitely, and always choose a stripper that is formulated for your specific application. Darker stains and opaque sealers require a stronger remover.
Opaque?
Yeah, the darker, translucent sealers, the kind that give it a slight haze.
Oh, it sounds French.
Yeah, it sounds like a French word, yeah. Today it is French. So you just learned a little French, folks. So as always, be sure to ask a professional when purchasing these products, what type is best recommended for your specific wood. And always consult the manufacturer's instructions to determine which stripper is right for your project, whether it be a deck, fence, or bachelorette party.
Yeah, and to get these products and anything else you need to take on these projects, you know, check out our website, 844dirt.com. Find our resource partners, find a store near you, click and save. And remember, this show you know, is really sponsored by 844 Dirt. And, you know, and remember, it exists because we sell high-quality improved earth products. So when you need some of those, give us a call for those, too. But what else we got, Zach?
Well, you just want to remember that you only really need to strip a deck if it's been stained or sealed before. Now,
yeah.
if it's brand new, you can just kind of just totally forget about everything, you know, we told you.
Yeah, forget about it. Just kind of wipe that from your memory banks. Or you could use that information when you restain the deck next time, Zach.
Oh, yeah, good point, Mike. I brought my B game today. I'm sorry.
All right, Zach, remember, you carry this show. We're definitely going to need the A game.
I'll bring the A game next round, I swear, Mike.
All right, let's go. Let's rock.
Well, let's talk about cleaners, because you're definitely going to want to clean all that stripper off the deck, as well as get some of the other stains cleaned up. Now, cleaners come in all shapes, claims, and colors. Some are detergents, others are bleaches, and still others are chemical-specific, designed to react with certain types of woods. Now, there is no clear answer to what cleaner you should use, but whatever cleaner you do decide on, be sure to read the manufacturer's directions carefully and follow them to the letter.
Yeah, always read the directions. And sometimes, you know, a cleaner slash stripper or stripper slash cleaner, sometimes you can get those in a two-in-one. So, again, find the product that best works for you. And cleaners can often be applied with one of those pump sprayers. You know, make sure you get all the areas of your deck. A good tip is to cover, you know, your surrounding plants or landscaping, and if possible, siding or other things around the house that you don't want to, you know, go through this stripping process.
Definitely. You don't want to get those chemicals on any plants or on things like your siding. After that, you simply allow the cleaner to stay on the wood for the length of time that's recommended in the directions. Again, that's why it's so important to read those directions. Now, after it is set, you can remove it with a hose or a pressure washer, which is recommended.
Yeah, definitely a pressure washer. That's really the way we're going to want to take this off, you know, is use a pressure washer. That's our preferred method.
Yeah, and if you are using a pressure washer, remember, the job of a pressure washer is to remove the chemicals as well as the surface dirt, and that stuff is going to fly back at you. So always wear the proper safety gear. And remember, pressure washers use less water than conventional hose and nozzles and can be rented locally.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you don't own one, you can buy one of these anywhere from $100 to $400. If that's not in your budget, we can definitely find a place to rent one of these. But remember, this is the opportunity we get to really get this wood clean, really get it clean. So definitely check out our resource partners and get that one. Rent it for a whole day because there's lots of stuff that you could do with these.
Definitely. There's always additional products that you can do with these. Now, after your deck is nice and clean, it needs to be dry before you can stain it.
Yeah, I tell you what, that is my favorite part of the process, Zach.
The
break.
Yeah, that's true.
After we've cleaned it, it's going to dry.
So, well, we're going to take a break right now and let that deck dry. But when we return to the Gopher's Den, we're going to give you some tips on staining that deck. So stay tuned.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit DG Ace Hardware, the helpful place in St. Charles on Main Street and in Aurora on New York Street.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself.
844 Dirt is one of the largest residential mulch suppliers in the Fox Valley area, housing everything from Northwoods Mulch of Wisconsin to Alabama Bark Mulch from the Smoky Mountain region. 844 Dirt is the exclusive provider of the finest mulches found throughout the United States. 844 Dirt also carries the finest organic weed-free screened mushroom compost available. Our courteous, uniformed drivers deliver all these products right to your home. To see a full selection of the products we carry and to utilize our handy materials calculator, head to our website at 844dirt.com.
Your lawn is pleading with you. Listen up. It's more of the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show right now.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. In the first segment of our show, we talked about the technique used to strip and clean pretty much any wood surface that you have.
Yeah, Zach, it's important to note that a little routine maintenance now will keep our decks, our sheds, our fences looking great, you know, for years and years.
Definitely. Now, staining is a close relative of painting, possibly cousins. So those of you that like to paint will probably enjoy staining.
Yeah, Zach, I hate painting, so I guess I'm not going to like his cousin staining, am I?
Well, you know, like that's kind of tough to say. I mean, although they're similar, there are some differences. For instance, some stains can actually be sprayed on using that same pump sprayer that we used to clean the deck with earlier. This method should really only be done on windless days. As we said before, there is a lot of overspray, and this overspray can cause damage to things like siding, plants around there, and your neighbor's car.
Yeah, and we want to try to avoid that. And also choosing the right type of stain. That's something we really want to make sure we handle.
Definitely.
Make sure we get the right one.
And when you're choosing a stain, look for a combination stain sealer. This will really help. You want to find the product that fits your situation, whether you have cedar, treated board. You know, definitely bring in a sample of the wood. Don't be afraid of that. And the people there, the professionals there, will probably tell you the right thing to get.
Yeah, and when you need these products, actually check out our website, 844dirt.com. Check out our resource partners. Find a store near you, click and save. But definitely, you want to really make sure you do your homework on this before you choose, so you can choose the right the right product for your application.
Definitely. But regardless of the method that you apply it or the type that you choose, there's really three basic steps to follow.
So you're probably going to tell us these three basic steps, huh, Zach?
Mike, I brought my B game. I thought you were going to get these. Don't you got the list?
I got nothing, man.
I'm just messing with you. Of course I got these. I carry this program here, folks. I'm a beast of burden.
All right, carry the show. Carry it, Zach.
The first step is, now after properly preparing the wood, select an inconspicuous place on the actual wood that you'll be staining and test that stain to make sure that you're actually happy with the final color and these final results.
Yeah, you don't want to get halfway through this project and realize that's not the color that you're going to want. So,
or more important, what your significant other wants is the color. I mean, sometimes
that's probably the best tip of the whole show, Zach, is make sure your significant other is happy with the color of the stain/sealer.
Definitely. For the second step, you want to stain the vertical sections of the deck, such as the rails and the posts, so that any drips will not land on finished areas. That way all these drips just drop down on the deck, and you can wipe those up before they actually start to stain the surface.
Yeah, that's gold. That is real. That's real gold there, Zach. I mean, hitting those verticals is really important, because a lot of people, they just start in a place, and they don't have a plan, and then it kind of ends up a big mess. So that's really important.
Definitely. Now, once your vertical surfaces are completed, we can go to step three, and that's the actual deck surface. Now, for the deck boards, try to stain two or three boards at a time to avoid lap marks. Now, you want to go all the way down the board. You don't want to stop halfway in between. That'll make the product dry inconsistently throughout the board, giving it a varied color.
Yeah, because it is going to vary in color, too. Don't be surprised if something's a little darker than, because wood has its own natural grain. So some parts of the wood are going to absorb more of the material and possibly have a little bit of different color, so don't be alarmed by that.
Definitely, and don't stop in the middle of the board or you risk developing those lap marks. And make sure to wipe up any excess stain, as this can leave a really heavy mark. And, of course, one of the most valuable tips, just like painting its good cousin, you don't want to paint yourself into a corner. Definitely start from a corner and work your way towards the stairs or an exit. You don't want to paint yourself in the middle of your deck.
Yeah, you're stuck in the middle of your large deck area. What do you do? Who do you call? You could only scream for help.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this is one of these projects where it's really good to take it on yourself. And one of the main reasons is when you're in by far brushing is the best application. That's when you can really push it into all the corners, make sure you get a really good application. A brush is the way to go.
Definitely.
And I'll tell you what, this is why I like doing these projects myself, because you're going to take a lot more pride and care in preserving your wood structures more than anyone else. So this is an opportunity for you to make sure that you apply the proper sealant/stain evenly and thoroughly.
And the better job you do, the longer those results are going to last. I mean, you want this project to last a while. This is kind of an intense labor job, so you definitely want these results to last a long time, and you want your work to pay off in the long run. So the better job you do now, the longer you're going to be rewarded in the future.
You bet.
Now, there are some tips for staining. The obvious one is don't let the stain puddle on any surface of the deck. You want to use a brush to kind of like move that around and mop that up. This will really leave a big mark if you leave it sit, and it's very obvious. And also, when you back roll it in with that brush, you're going to get a better penetration. Yeah, because whether you roll or spray, you always want to use the brush to kind of push it into the wood. That way it gets into the fibers of that wood.
Yeah, and stain, Zach, doesn't mix the same way the paint does. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where you really have to keep on it to make sure you're constantly stirring that material.
Definitely. Even if you're pump spraying it or doing it by a brush, you definitely need to stir that off. And unlike paint, it really tends to separate.
Yeah, and I would say, when you use the pump sprayer, that's for me at least, that's one of those large areas such as fences or sheds or that. But even in a lot of those cases, if you're going to use that type of method along your deck, include the brush with that.
Definitely. You always want to back brush things.
Back brush it to get it in there to do a really high quality job.
And don't be afraid of the little wood slivers that are sticking up all over the place. That's just a side effect of the power washing. You want to make sure those are dry before you try to remove them, because once they're dry, they come right off with a little sweep of a stiff bristled broom. And again, your deck will be just nice and fresh and smooth. Now, as always, you want to make sure to ensure that the stain actually penetrates into the wood and gets even drying results. So avoid, applying this in direct sunlight. It's going to cause it to dry way too fast. The best time is actually in the morning, and then kind of letting it dry throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to be out there in the heat of the day with this, because that will dry really fast in direct sunlight.
Well, there you have it. These are the tips and techniques that you can clean and stain pretty much any wood structure that you have. That's all we got for right now, but when we come back, we're going to answer the questions that you sent to us at thegophersden@844dirt.com.
Can't wait, Zach.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit Ace in Aurora on Lake Street and Ace in Aurora on Galena Boulevard.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself. Do you care for a lawn?
844-DIRT.
Tend to a garden?
844-DIRT.
Nurture plants?
844-DIRT.
With high-quality earth products such as topsoil, compost, mulch, and more, 844-DIRT can help you with your most earthly prospect.
844-DIRT can also accommodate small deliveries right to your home, staffed with courteous, uniformed drivers.
844-DIRT.
Online, 844-DIRT.com provides a full product inventory as well as a materials calculator, so you'll see what you're getting and how much you will need.
Proudly serving the Fox Valley area with high-quality improved earth products since 1990. 844 Dirt is a name you can trust.
You're tuned into the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Make way in your noggin. Much more info is on its way.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. Now's the time that we get to answer your questions that you sent to us at thegophersden@844dirt.com. But before we do that, I'd like to introduce a special guest, one of Mike's daughters, Nikki. How's it going there, Nikki?
Good. Hi, everybody. Thank you for watching the Gopher's Den.
That's great. Are you comfortable, Nikki? Can I get you anything?
Give me a latte, cream only.
Okay. Can I run through the show real quick? Is that
sure.
Okay? Okay. Excellent. All right. Our first question comes from Sal in Batavia. Sal wonders, what's the best way to spray weeds next to other plants? Wow.
That's a really good question, Zach, because, you know, that weed killer is... That can be really damaging to lots of plants. Yeah. I can't wait to hear your answer on this.
Definitely.
One.
Well, really, the ideal situation would be to have manual removal of the plant and the root system, you know, to actually...
So you're saying rip them out.
Yeah, just get down there and rip it out.
That's what I'm talking about, Zach.
But there are times where that option is pretty much unavailable, like in the case of, like thorns, or my favorite frenemy is poison ivy.
Yeah, or that poison sumac.
Definitely.
Yeah, you're highly allergic to that, Zach. I mean, I think technically that's the only time you called in sick for work.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. And anybody who's had this stuff will know exactly why I called in sick. It is horrible.
Well, actually, there was two times you called in sick, but we're not going to go into that.
Well, we'll stay away from that other one. But in the cases of things like poison ivy, the easy way to spray it without hurting the surrounding plants is take a piece of cardboard, such as from a box. Just cut the side off of a box with a razor knife.
And be careful with that razor knife. You know, safety first.
Safety first. You should wear glasses and possibly gloves. Now, this will form an effective and portable barrier to use when spraying a non-selective herbicide on these desired plants. Remember, non-selective, folks, that means if it touches anything else, it doesn't care what it kills.
It means non-selective. Let me interpret that for you. Kill them all.
Total annihilation.
Total annihilation.
Now, by changing the angle of the cardboard, it's really easy to spray the weeds growing right up next to these bases of these plants, while actually shielding the good plants, stems, branches, and leaves from the non-selective herbicide. Now, remember that this herbicide is going to get all over this piece of cardboard, so you want to use the same side. You want to keep the one side towards the good plant and the one side towards the bad plants at all times.
Yeah, the side that has absorbed some of that herbicide, that's the side that we want nudging up against the weeds that we're trying to annihilate.
Definitely, because that'll just rub off on the leaves and add a little extra to that kung pow to really get them down.
That's what I'm talking about, Zach. But I tell you what, the other thing, too, is, you know, when you're done with this piece of cardboard, make sure that finds its way right into the trash. It's not something we want laying around the house or the garage.
Mike, when did you become so eco-friendly?
Well, you know, Zach, I've been hanging out with you, and I've got a whole new appreciation for, you know.
I'm glad to see my wisdom is not only passing down generations, but up them as well.
So I get carried away.
We'll get you a T-shirt sent out to you, Sal. Our next question comes from Steve in Boulder Hill. Steve asks, what can I do to help to keep the water from coming towards my house?
And I tell you what, Zach, this is
we get this a lot.
This is one of the most common questions we get. And, you know, I'm going to just let you roll with it because you do carry the show.
Yeah, well, Steve, the first thing I would recommend, and this is just back to the basics, always check the basics, is check your gutters and clean them if it's necessary. You also want to ensure that your downspouts are attached and aim to direct water away from your house.
I don't know how many times we've been to, you know, different locations and people are showing us this problem when we do deliveries. Oh, it's coming up to my house. And you walk up there and the downspout is not connected to the, you know, the runner gutter off the house.
Exactly.
You know?
So instead of discharging the water 5 feet away from the house where it needs to go, they're discharging it right next to the house. It's going to form a puddle and cause some water coming towards your foundation.
Absolutely, and every time you have water like that, it's just a bad thing. One of the other things is even if you don't have trees, just debris can accumulate in those gutters really quick.
Yeah,
so you don't
the asphalt off the gutters will actually go into your gutter and back it up.
You mean the asphalt off the
The roofing tiles?
Yeah. Okay. Asphalt off your you're confusing me, Zach.
I'm sorry about that.
Remember, Zach, A-game.
A-game today, folks. On my A-game, it's important to note that a slope of 2 inches per 20 feet is needed to get rid of that excess water off your lawn and not have it pool up.
Yeah, the good news is water seeks a path of least resistance. So if you even have a really gradual, gentle slope, it will flow away from the house. And one of the reasons this is a really common question all the time is because, you know what, when your house foundation is dug, you know, they usually overdig a couple feet at least around the house to get the form in. And just over years and years, that material just settles.
Definitely.
And you could be fighting this for years. And mm-hmm. even someone says, wow, my house was built 10 or 15, 20 years ago. Well, you're still going to get that, you know, just gentle
gradual recession in the soil. Yep.
That's right.
Definitely. And, you know, we actually have the exact opposite of this question come through a lot, you know, where people say, I have too much water coming through my property, you know, and it's actually causing damage. You know, what to do about that?
You know, you're absolutely right. I just did a delivery not too long ago, and someone asked me that very specific question, Zach. And that was, you know, in these real heavy rainfalls, you know, they get a lot of water flowing through kind of natural swales or drainage ditches. And someone asked me, you know, what can we do about that? And, you know, without getting into this big, you know, put rocks in there to slow it down, I said, you know, usually, and it only happens when those heavy rains are. And I said, a really good erosion control method is using bales of straw and just stick them in the center of the that ditch line.
And slow the water down.
And just slow that water down. And that's a really good thing. Because you know what? We know when those big storms are coming.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Steve, we'll get you out a shirt, and I hope that answered your question for you. Now's the time of the show where we get to hear some wisdom from the gopher.
Yeah, you know what, Zach? This is the most exciting part of the show. I wait for this every week.
Definitely. Well, let's hear it from the gopher himself. Wow, this guy is just hilarious.
What is he, Mr. Comedian today?
Mr. Comedy. Well, Mr. Gopher said, don't ever stare directly into the sun, don't pet stray dogs, and never, ever set out a gopher trap. Well, just kidding on the first two, but seriously, summer is the time of the year we all go camping or traveling. Now, summer nights can be great for fires, but be sure never to bring home that firewood from the additional wood you have over. as it may contain insects, diseases, that could even harm our trees and local forests.
Wow, Zach. You know, that gopher never ceases to amaze me.
No.
But I tell you what, that's all we have for the Gopher's Den today. Good gardening. Bye-bye.